Here is an informative, entertaining, and detailed podcast episode about the research paper Bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression. Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast, where we dive deep into groundbreaking research papers and uncover the fascinating stories behind the science. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen, your co-host. In today's episode, we'll be exploring a new criterion for selecting the order of autoregressive models, which could have major implications for time series analysis.
That's right, Jen. The paper we'll be discussing is titled Bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression, and it was written by Jia Ding, Vahid Tarok, and Yuhong Yang.
Autoregressive models are incredibly useful for analyzing and predicting time series data, but one of the key challenges is determining the appropriate order or complexity of the model. This is where model selection criteria like the Akaiki Information Criterion, AIC, and Bayesian Information Criterion come into play.
Exactly. The AIC and BIC are two of the most widely used model selection techniques, but they have their own strengths and weaknesses. The AIC tends to choose more complex models that can better capture patterns in the data, while the BIC is more conservative and favors simpler models.
The authors of this paper set out to create a new criterion that combines the benefits of both AIC and BIC. They wanted a method that could adaptively achieve either consistency, like the BIC, or efficiency, like the AIC, depending on the underlying structure of the true model.
That's a really interesting goal. Let's dive into how they went about developing this new criterion. The key idea is that the authors introduce a parametricness index that essentially measures how close the true model is to a finite order autoregression.
Right. The parametricness index is a clever way to quantify the complexity of the true model. If the index is high, it means the true model is well approximated by a finite order autoregression, and the new criterion will behave more like the BIC, favoring simpler models.
But if the index is low, indicating the true model has an infinite or very high order, then the new criterion will be more like the AIC, choosing more complex models that can better capture the patterns in the data.
This adaptive behavior is really the crux of the new criterion. The authors show that it can achieve both consistency, like the BIC, and efficiency, like the AIC, depending on the underlying structure of the true model. That's a pretty powerful capability.
Absolutely. To illustrate how this works, the authors conduct some simulations with different types of autoregressive processes. When the true model has a finite order, the new criterion performs similarly to the BIC and correctly identifies the order.
But when the true model has an infinite or very high order, the new criterion behaves more like the AIC, choosing more complex models that lead to better predictive performance. This adaptability is a key strength compared to the fixed behavior of the classical AIC and BIC approaches.
The authors also demonstrate the application of their new criterion on some real-world time series datasets, showing how it can outperform the AIC and BIC in practical situations where the true model structure is unknown.
That's a really important point. In real life, we rarely have prior knowledge about the underlying model generating the data. The flexibility of this new criterion makes it a more robust and reliable choice for model selection compared to the more rigid AIC and BIC.
Exactly. By adaptively finding the sweet spot between complexity and parsimony, the new criterion seems to provide a more data-driven approach to autoregressive modeling. This could have significant implications for a wide range of time series analysis applications, from economics and finance to environmental science and beyond.
Absolutely. This paper represents an impressive marriage of statistical theory and practical problem solving. The authors have developed a novel and insightful model selection technique that addresses key limitations of existing methods. It's an exciting development that could truly transform the way we approach time series modeling.
Well said, Jen. This was a fascinating deep dive into a really clever piece of research. As we've seen, the new criterion they've developed has the potential to significantly improve the reliability and accuracy of autoregressive modeling, which has such widespread applications.
Definitely. It's always exciting to see researchers pushing the boundaries of what's possible and coming up with innovative solutions to long-standing challenges. This paper is a great example of that kind of breakthrough thinking.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining us on the Breakthrough Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and catch us next time as we explore another cutting-edge research paper. Until then, keep exploring.
See you next time.
Are you tired of the same old autoregressive models that just can't keep up with your complex time series data?
Introducing Adaptive Analytics, the cutting-edge model selection software that bridges the gap between the AIC and the BIIC.
Sick of your models overfitting or underfitting? Adaptive Analytics uses a revolutionary parametricness index to adaptively choose the perfect model order, whether your data is simple or insanely complicated.
It's like having a PhD statistician in your back pocket, but without the piles of unpaid student loans.
Analyze stocks, weather patterns, even the migrations of Arctic sloths. Adaptive Analytics has got your back.
So toss out those outdated model selection criterions and get with the times. Adaptive Analytics. The future of time series is now.
Call 1-800-PARAMETRIC to get your free trial today. Operators are standing by to serve up some world-class model fitting.
Adaptive Analytics. Because your data deserves better than AIC and BIIC.
Hello and welcome to the Curiosity Digest, the podcast that takes a deep dive into cutting-edge research. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hi there. Today we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that uses advanced mathematical techniques to analyze decision-making processes. The title of the paper is A Martingale Analysis of First Passage Times of Time-Dependent Wiener Diffusion Models.
This paper proposes a novel approach to modeling how people make decisions over time. The authors use something called a multi-stage model to describe how the parameters of the decision process, like the rate of evidence accumulation and the decision thresholds, can change dynamically as the decision unfolds.
That's really interesting. A lot of decision-making models in psychology and neuroscience assume that these key parameters remain fixed throughout the decision process. But in reality, our decision-making is often influenced by factors that shift over time, like changes in our focus of attention or the pressure to make a quick choice.
Exactly. The researchers in this paper wanted to develop a more flexible model that could capture those time-dependent dynamics. And they turned to a powerful mathematical tool called Martingale theory to do it.
Martingales? That sounds complex. Can you break that down for us in a more intuitive way?
Sure. Let me try to explain martingales in simple terms. Imagine you're flipping a fair coin. If you get heads, you win a dollar, and if you get tails, you lose a dollar. Over many coin flips, the expected value of your winnings is zero, right? That's because a fair coin flip is a fair game. Your chances of gaining and losing are equal.
Okay, I see what you mean. The expected value doesn't change, even as the sequence of coin flips plays out.
Precisely. Martingales are mathematical objects that have that same fair game property. Their expected value remains constant, even as the process unfolds over time. And that turns out to be a really powerful tool for analyzing stochastic processes like decision making.
I'm starting to see how martingales could be useful for modeling decision making. So in this paper, the authors use martingale theory to analyze a Wiener diffusion process, which is a common way of modeling the noisy accumulation of evidence over time as someone makes a decision.
That's right. The key innovation is that they allow the parameters of the Wiener diffusion, like the drift rate and decision thresholds, to change over the course of the decision process. This creates a multi-stage model where the decision evolves through a sequence of stages, each with potentially different parameters.
Okay, I'm picturing it now. Rather than having a fixed rate of evidence accumulation and fixed decision boundaries, the decision maker might start off focusing more on one option, then shift their attention to the other option later on. And the thresholds for making a decision could also change over time, perhaps becoming more lenient as time pressure builds.
Exactly. By using martingale theory, the authors were able to derive some really elegant mathematical expressions for key decision-making metrics, like the probability of hitting a particular decision threshold and the expected decision time. These closed-form solutions are a major advantage over previous approaches that relied on numerical integration.
That's super impressive. Being able to compute those decision-making statistics analytically, rather than having to simulate the process, must make the model much more tractable and useful for researchers.
Definitely. And the results don't just have theoretical value, the authors also demonstrate how the model can be applied to study real-world phenomena, like how decision makers might adjust their strategy over time in response to changing priorities or time pressure.
That's fascinating. I can imagine this type of model being really useful for understanding complex decision making in domains like psychology, neuroscience, economics, and beyond. The ability to capture dynamic changes in the decision process seems critical for getting an accurate picture of how people make choices in the real world.
Absolutely. This paper really showcases the power of combining advanced mathematical techniques with psychological theory. By taking a deep dive into the stochastic underpinnings of decision-making, the authors have developed a flexible modeling framework that could have widespread implications.
I agree. This is the kind of research that really excites me. It takes a complex cognitive phenomenon and tackles it from a rigorous quantitative angle, but in a way that remains intuitive and meaningful. I'm impressed by the author's ability to make martingale theory accessible and actionable for decision-making researchers.
Me too. This paper is a great example of how cross-pollination between different fields, in this case, mathematics, psychology, and neuroscience, can lead to innovative breakthroughs. I'm really curious to see how this work gets applied and built upon in the future.
Definitely. There's still so much to learn about the dynamic, time-dependent processes underlying human decision-making. This multi-stage Wiener diffusion model with martingale analysis seems like a powerful new tool in the toolkit. I have a feeling we'll be seeing a lot more of this kind of research in the years to come.
I agree. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's an exciting time to be studying decision-making from a quantitative, interdisciplinary perspective. Thanks for joining me today, Jen. I'm sure our listeners are as fascinated by this work as we are.
Absolutely, Tom. This was a great discussion. I'm sure our audience learned a lot about how advanced mathematical techniques can shed new light on complex cognitive processes. Be sure to check out the paper if you want to dive deeper into the details. Until next time, happy listening. Tom and Jen, thanks for tuning in to the Curiosity Digest.
Are you tired of making the same old decisions day in and day out? Do you feel like your mind is stuck in a rut, unable to adapt to changing circumstances?
Introducing the Martingale Decision Dynamics Enhancer, the revolutionary new device that harnesses the power of time-dependent Wiener diffusion and martingale theory to optimize your decision-making.
Simply strap on the Martingale Decision Dynamics Enhancer and let its cutting-edge algorithms dynamically adjust your decision parameters in real time. Experience a new level of mental flexibility and adaptability as you navigate life's challenges.
Feeling indecisive? The Enhancer will subtly shift your focus and thresholds, guiding you towards the optimal choice. Facing time pressure? The Enhancer will loosen your decision boundaries, helping you act with speed and confidence.
It's like having a team of mathematicians and psychologists in your head, working around the clock to fine-tune your decision-making. And with our patented Martingale modulation circuitry, the Enhancer ensures your decisions remain a fair game, no more feeling like you're on a roller coaster of gains and losses.
Don't just take our word for it. Hear what satisfied customers are saying. The Martingale Decision Dynamics Enhancer has completely transformed my life. I'm making better choices, feeling more in control, and my coin-flipping skills have never been sharper. T. Bernoulli, as a neuroscientist, I was skeptical at first, but after just 1 week of using the Enhancer, I can see the neural signatures of my decision-making processes evolving in real time. It's mind-blowing. Jay, so why settle for static, inflexible decision-making? Upgrade to the Martingale Decision Dynamics Enhancer today and start living your best life, one optimal choice at a time. Visit martingaledecisions.com to order now.
Intro. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate research papers with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're diving into a fascinating paper that explores new analytical solutions to a modified Black-Scholes equation for European put options. The paper is titled New Analytical Solutions of a Modified Black-Scholes Equation with the European Put Option and was written by Juan Ospina from EAFIT University in Colombia.
This research is really exciting because it tackles a long-standing challenge in the world of quantitative finance. The standard Black-Scholes equation has been the go-to model for pricing various financial options, but in the real world, we often see significant deviations between the theoretical prices and the observed market prices. Researchers have been searching for ways to bridge this gap, and this paper presents a promising approach.
That's right, Tom. The authors here have proposed a modified version of the Black-Scholes equation and have found some elegant analytical solutions, particularly in the case of the European put option. This could have important implications for more accurately pricing and trading these financial instruments. Let's dive in and learn more about their findings.
Okay, Jen, let's start by understanding the problem the researchers were trying to solve. Can you tell us a bit more about the standard Black-Scholes equation and the European put option?
Absolutely. The standard Black-Scholes equation is a partial differential equation that provides a framework for estimating the prices of various financial options, such as call and put options. The equation takes into account factors like the current price of the underlying asset, the volatility of the asset, the risk-free interest rate, and the time to maturity of the option.
And the European put option is one of the classic types of financial options, right? Can you explain what that is and how it differs from a call option?
Sure. The European put option gives the holder the right, but not the obligation, to sell the underlying asset at a predetermined strike price before the option's expiration date. This is in contrast to a European call option, which gives the holder the right to buy the asset at the strike price. The key difference is that with a put option, the holder is betting that the price of the underlying asset will decrease, while with a call option, the holder is betting that the price will increase. Traders and investors will use these different option types to construct a variety of trading strategies based on their market outlook.
Okay, that makes sense. So the researchers in this paper were looking to solve the Black-Scholes equation, but with a modified version of the equation. What were the key modifications they introduced?
The authors considered two main modifications to the standard Black-Scholes equation. The first was the sub-Black-Scholes case, where they introduced a diffusivity parameter that was lower than the standard volatility term. And the second was the supra-Black-Scholes case, where the diffusivity parameter was higher than the standard volatility.
Interesting. So they were essentially exploring how changes to that key volatility parameter would affect the pricing of the European put option. And what did they find when they solved these modified equations?
Well, by using advanced mathematical techniques and computer algebra software like Maple, the authors were able to derive some really elegant analytical solutions to these modified Black-Scholes equations. Specifically, they found that the solutions could be expressed in terms of special functions from mathematical physics, such as Kummer functions and associated Laguerre polynomials.
Wow, that's quite impressive. Can you walk us through one of these analytical solutions in a bit more detail? I know the mathematics can get quite complex, but try to explain it in an intuitive way for our listeners.
Sure, let's look at the solution for the sub-Black-Scholes case. The key idea here is that the authors found a solution that takes the form of a series expansion involving these associated Laguerre polynomials. Essentially, the Laguerre polynomials allow them to construct a solution that satisfies the modified Black-Scholes equation, but also ensures the solution remains bounded as the asset price approaches zero. This is an important mathematical property that the solution needs to have.
Okay, that makes sense. And how does this sub-Black-Scholes solution compare to the standard Black-Scholes solution for the European put option?
That's a great question. The authors found that the prices of the European put option computed using their sub-Black-Scholes solution were actually lower than the prices computed using the standard Black-Scholes formula. This suggests that the modified equation is capturing something different about the market dynamics. It's producing option prices that are closer to the real-world observed prices, which often deviate downward from the standard Black-Scholes predictions.
Interesting. So the sub-Black-Scholes model seems to be providing a more realistic assessment of put option values. And what about the supra-Black-Scholes case? What did they find there?
For the supra-Black-Scholes case, where the diffusivity parameter was higher than the standard volatility, the authors found the opposite effect. The option prices computed using their analytical solution were actually higher than the standard Black-Scholes prices. So in this case, the modified equation is producing put option values that are above the theoretical Black-Scholes prices. This suggests the supra-Black-Scholes model may be capturing an element of market behavior where investors are pricing in greater uncertainty or risk compared to the standard model.
That's really fascinating. It seems like these modified Black-Scholes equations are providing a richer, more nuanced view of how option prices behave in the real world. The ability to generate analytical solutions for these models is quite impressive as well.
Absolutely, Tom. The authors have made an important contribution by developing these new solutions. Not only do they potentially improve option pricing, but they also provide a framework for further exploring the connections between mathematical physics and quantitative finance, an area known as quantum mechanophysics.
That's a great point. This research really illustrates how cross-pollination between different fields can lead to breakthroughs. By drawing on techniques from mathematical physics, the authors have opened up new possibilities for enhancing our understanding of financial markets.
Exactly. And as the authors note, this is just the beginning. They suggest that there may be opportunities to find even more general solutions to the modified Black-Scholes equation, from which their current solutions could be derived as special cases. The potential for further advances in this area is quite exciting.
Absolutely, Jen. As we reflect on this paper, what do you see as some of the key strengths and potential limitations of this research?
Well, I think one of the main strengths is the rigor and elegance of the analytical solutions the authors have derived. The use of special functions like Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials is really clever and shows a deep mathematical understanding of the problem. At the same time, I wonder about the practical applicability of these solutions. While they may provide more accurate pricing for European put options compared to the standard Black-Scholes model, implementing them in real-world trading systems would likely require overcoming some hurdles.
That's a fair point. The computational complexity of evaluating those series expansions and special functions could be a challenge, especially in fast-paced trading environments. The authors do acknowledge that limitation, but you're right that translating these theoretical advances into practical tools is an important next step.
Exactly. And another potential limitation is that the analysis is still focused on the European put options specifically. It would be valuable to see if these modified Black-Scholes equations and analytical solutions can be extended to handle other option types as well, like American options or more exotic derivatives.
Good observation. Expanding the scope of the research to cover a wider range of financial instruments would certainly enhance the impact and applicability of these findings. It speaks to the need for continued exploration and refinement of these models.
Absolutely. Overall, though, I'm really impressed by the creativity and rigor displayed in this paper. The authors have taken a classic problem in quantitative finance and found a novel mathematical approach to solving it. That's the kind of work that can lead to significant breakthroughs down the line.
I couldn't agree more, Jen. This research represents an important step forward in bridging the gap between theoretical option pricing models and the realities of financial markets. It's the kind of work that gets me excited about the future of quantitative finance and the potential for interdisciplinary collaboration to drive innovation in this space. / Reflections Conclusion. Well, listeners, I think it's clear that this paper on new analytical solutions to a modified Black-Scholes equation is a fascinating exploration of a critical challenge in quantitative finance. By introducing variations to the standard model and deriving elegant mathematical solutions, the authors have opened up new possibilities for more accurately pricing and trading financial options.
Absolutely, Tom. The ability to capture real-world market dynamics more faithfully through models like the sub-black skulls and supra-black skulls equations, could have important implications for traders, portfolio managers, and even regulators. It speaks to the power of cross-disciplinary research and the continued evolution of our understanding of financial markets.
Well said, Jen. This research is a prime example of how rigorous, innovative science can push the boundaries of what's possible in the world of finance. We'll be excited to see how this work progresses and what new insights emerge. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time on the podcast.
Thanks, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of finance and science.
Commercial. Are you tired of antiquated options pricing models that just don't reflect the realities of today's dynamic markets?
Introducing Quantum Quants, the cutting-edge finance and AI firm that's harnessed the power of modified Black-Scholes equations to revolutionize options trading.
Using advanced mathematical techniques straight out of a physics PhD thesis, our proprietary algorithms can price European put options with uncanny accuracy.
Whether it's the sub-Black-Scholes or the elusive super-Black-Scholes case, Quantum Quants has the analytical solutions to make you an options trading superhero.
Don't settle for outdated models that price options like it's 1973. Experience the future of quantitative finance with Quantum Quants.
Quantum Quants, where the laws of physics meet the riches of the trading floor. Visit quantumquants.com to learn more. Tom and Jen, Quantum Quants. The future is now.
Here is the transcript for an informative and entertaining podcast episode about the research paper transfer pricing manipulation, tax penalty cost, and the impact of foreign profit taxation. Introduction. Welcome to the Research Rundown, the podcast that dives deep into cutting-edge scientific discoveries. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In today's episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that investigates how multinational enterprises, or MNEs, manipulate their transfer pricing to reduce their global tax burden, and how governments try to crack down on this practice.
The paper is titled Transfer Pricing Manipulation, Tax Penalty Cost, and the Impact of Foreign Profit Taxation, and it was authored by Alex Augusto Tim Rothka from the University of Sao Paulo. Let's dive in. Body.
The central question this paper aims to address is, what factors influence the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation by MNEs? In other words, how much can these companies tweak the prices they charge between their own subsidiaries in order to shift profits to low-tax jurisdictions and minimize their global tax payments?
The researchers developed a model to analyze this, and a key part of their approach was to break down the expected tax penalty cost into two components, an endogenous probability and an exogenous probability.
The endogenous probability is the part that the MNE can influence through its transfer pricing decisions. Specifically, the researchers proposed a clever specification for this probability that relates it to the range of acceptable arm's-length prices determined by market forces.
The exogenous probability, on the other hand, represents the tax enforcement efforts of the governments involved, things like the rigor of audits and the severity of penalties. This exogenous factor is something the MNE can't directly control.
By separating these two probabilities, the researchers were able to show that stronger tax enforcement, as reflected in a higher exogenous probability of penalties, reduces the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation. Essentially, the threat of getting caught and punished deters the MNEs from pushing their luck too far.
But the paper also revealed another important factor, the range of acceptable arm's length prices. If this range is wide, or its boundaries are hard for tax authorities to clearly define, that gives the MNEs more leeway to justify their transfer prices and get away with manipulation.
So the model suggests that both tough enforcement and clear transfer pricing guidelines are needed to really rein in income shifting by multinational companies. But the researchers didn't stop there. They also looked at how different rules for taxing foreign profits in the parent company's home country can impact transfer pricing decisions.
That's right. They analyzed three main approaches, the proportional tax credit rule, the limited tax credit rule, and the foreign tax deduction rule. and what they found was that the limited tax credit rule tends to be the least effective at discouraging profit shifting.
The proportional tax credit rule, where the parent company gets a tax credit equal to the portion of foreign profits that are repatriated, was more successful at reducing the incentive to manipulate transfer prices. And the foreign tax deduction rule had an interesting twist. It could actually induce more income shifting in some cases, depending on the repatriation rate.
Fascinating stuff. The researchers also looked at the impact of import tariffs, which add another layer of complexity. But the key takeaway seems to be that a multi-pronged approach is needed: strong transfer pricing rules, rigorous enforcement, and well-designed foreign profit taxation policies. Reflections.
I really admire how the researchers broke down this problem in such a methodical way, isolating the different factors at play. The model they developed seems quite elegant and insightful.
Absolutely. And I think their findings highlight just how challenging it is for governments to stay ahead of multinational tax avoidance schemes. These companies are so sophisticated in how they manage their global operations and finances.
Yes, it's a constant cat and mouse game. But I'm encouraged to see researchers delving into these issues so rigorously. Understanding the mechanics of transfer pricing manipulation is the first step towards developing more effective policies and enforcement.
Agreed. And I like how the paper considered the practical realities of how transfer pricing rules are interpreted and applied in the real world. The ambiguity around arm's length pricing seems ripe for exploitation by savvy MNEs.
Definitely. It's a complex problem without any easy solutions. But studies like this one are crucial for informing the ongoing international debate around reforming the global tax system to be fairer and more robust.
Well, this was a fascinating deep dive into an important area of tax policy and corporate behavior. The researchers did an excellent job of unpacking the various factors that influence transfer pricing manipulation, from tax enforcement to foreign profit taxation rules to the vagaries of arm's length pricing.
Absolutely. This paper really highlights the need for a multifaceted approach to tackling profit shifting by multinational enterprises. It's not enough to just have tough transfer pricing rules on the books. There has to be rigorous implementation and adaptation as companies find new ways to game the system.
Agreed. And the findings around the relative effectiveness of different foreign profit taxation policies are particularly valuable for policymakers grappling with these challenges. There's clearly no one-size-fits-all solution, but this research provides important insights.
Definitely. This was a really rich and informative discussion. I'm sure our listeners came away with a much deeper understanding of the complexities involved in regulating transfer pricing and protecting national tax bases. It's an issue that's only going to become more important as globalization continues.
Couldn't agree more. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on the Research Rundown. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Are you tired of your multinational corporation getting raked over the coals by pesky tax authorities?
Introducing Loophole Logistics, the one-stop shop for all your transfer pricing manipulation needs.
Our team of creative accountants and crafty lawyers will guide you through the intricate web of international tax codes, finding you the perfect arm's-length pricing justifications.
With Loophole Logistics, you can shift those profits to low-tax havens faster than you can say tax avoidance.
Our exclusive opacity optimizer ensures your books are as clear as mud, seamlessly obscuring any trace of improper income shifting.
And with our patented audit avoidance armor, you'll dodge those pesky tax inspectors like a superstar soccer player.
So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-SHIFTY-BOOKS and let Loophole Logistics keep your multinational empire out of the red.
Loophole Logistics, cooking the books, not the planet.
Episode Introduction. Welcome to Uncovering Research, the podcast that delves into cutting-edge scientific discoveries with depth and intrigue. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating new paper that applies a powerful data analysis technique called dynamic mode decomposition to develop innovative financial trading strategies.
The paper is titled Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies, and it's authored by Jordan Mann and J. Nathan Cutts.
The researchers demonstrate how dynamic mode decomposition, or DMD, can be used to characterize complex market dynamics in an equation-free manner. By decomposing financial data into low-rank terms with known temporal behavior, DMD provides a regression to a best-fit linear dynamical system that can be used to make short-term predictions about market movements.
In other words, DMD allows the researchers to extract key patterns and coherent structures from financial data and then leverage those insights to inform profitable trading decisions. It's a really clever, data-driven approach to tackling the challenge of predicting market behavior.
Absolutely. This paper presents an intriguing new tool for making sense of the complex, non-stationary dynamics of financial markets. Let's dive in and unpack how the researchers developed this DMD-powered trading strategy. Explanation of the research.
To start, the researchers view the stock market as a complex, dynamical system that exhibits multi-scale, non-stationary phenomena. Unlike traditional dynamical systems methods, though, DMD doesn't impose an underlying model. Instead, it reconstructs the market's dynamics directly from the data.
The key idea is that DMD decomposes the financial data, like stock prices or portfolio holdings, into a set of low-rank modes. Each mode has an associated time-dependent coefficient that captures its temporal behavior, whether it's growing, decaying, or oscillating.
By identifying the modes with the largest growth rates, the researchers can focus their trading strategies on the most promising market trends and patterns. It's essentially an equation-free way to approximate the nonlinear dynamics of the financial system.
The DMD algorithm works by first arranging the financial data into a matrix, where each column represents a snapshot of the portfolio or stock prices at a particular time. It then uses a singular value decomposition to identify the dominant low-rank structures in the data.
From there, DMD constructs a best-fit linear operator that maps the data from one time point to the next. This linear operator has eigenvalues that correspond to the growth rates and oscillation frequencies of the identified modes.
The researchers can then use these eigenvalues to make short-term predictions about the future state of the market. By projecting the current portfolio onto the DMD modes, they can forecast how the portfolio will evolve over the next few days or weeks.
Importantly, the DMD methodology is adaptive. It updates its decomposition as the market changes over time. This allows the trading strategy to stay responsive to the evolving dynamics of the financial system.
And to really optimize the performance of their DMD-based trading, the researchers developed a training algorithm that learns the best combinations of sampling window size and prediction horizon. They call these the hotspots, the parameter regimes, where DMD is most successful at forecasting market movements.
The training algorithm evaluates all possible combinations of sampling window and prediction window, comparing the DMD forecasts to the actual historical market data. This allows them to identify the sweet spots where DMD is consistently accurate in its predictions.
Once they've found these hotspots, the researchers implement a trading algorithm that executes buy, sell, and hold decisions based on the DMD forecasts. They test this strategy across several different market sectors, like technology, biotech, and transportation.
And the results are really impressive. In sectors with clear DMD hotspots, the trading algorithm is able to significantly outperform the overall market, as measured by the S&P 500 index. The researchers attribute this success to DMD's ability to extract the key coherent structures and temporal patterns driving those sectors.
Interestingly, the algorithm doesn't perform as well in sectors without identifiable hotspots. But the researchers built in a safeguard for that. If no clear hotspot is detected, the algorithm simply holds its position rather than making trades. This helps mitigate losses in more unpredictable market environments.
The DMD-based trading strategy is really a clever marriage of data-driven modeling and adaptive decision-making. By extracting the underlying dynamics from the financial data, the researchers are able to capitalize on ephemeral market signals that traditional approaches might miss.
Absolutely. This paper showcases the power of blending dynamical systems theory with modern data analysis techniques. DMD provides a way to make sense of the complex, multi-scale phenomena in financial markets, opening up new possibilities for data-driven investment strategies, reflections, and conclusions.
As someone with a background in both finance and applied mathematics, I found this paper to be a really fascinating read. The DMD approach is such an elegant solution to the challenge of modeling market behavior.
I agree. The researchers did an excellent job of leveraging the strengths of DMD, its ability to handle non-stationary data, its equation-free nature, and its focus on extracting low-rank coherent structures. These features make it particularly well-suited for financial applications.
One aspect I found really intriguing was their adaptive, machine learning-based approach to optimizing the trading strategy. By continuously searching for the best sampling and prediction windows, the algorithm can stay nimble and responsive to evolving market conditions.
That's a great point. The researchers didn't just apply DMD in a static way. They recognized the importance of adapting the method to different market sectors and timescales. That flexibility is crucial for maintaining an edge in the fast-paced world of finance.
Absolutely. And while the paper focuses on the positive results in certain sectors, I'm also curious about the limitations and potential pitfalls of this approach. Are there market conditions or types of financial data where DMD might struggle to capture the relevant dynamics?
That's a really good question. The researchers acknowledge that in sectors without clear DMD hotspots, the trading algorithm doesn't perform as well. So there are likely some inherent limitations in the ability of DMD to model all types of financial data and market behavior.
Right. And even in the successful cases, the researchers note that they've ignored factors like slippage and other real-world trading frictions. Incorporating those elements could impact the actual profitability of the strategy.
Definitely something to consider. But overall, I think this paper demonstrates the immense potential of applying advanced data analysis techniques, like DMD, to the world of finance. By uncovering the underlying patterns and dynamics in market data, we can develop much more sophisticated and adaptive trading strategies.
Absolutely. This research opens up an exciting new frontier at the intersection of dynamical systems, machine learning, and finance. I'm really curious to see how this DMD-powered approach evolves and gets applied in the years to come.
Me too. This is just the beginning of unlocking the power of equation-free, data-driven modeling for financial applications. Who knows what other breakthroughs might emerge as researchers continue to push the boundaries of what's possible.
Well, this has been a fascinating dive into dynamic mode decomposition and its applications in finance. Thanks for joining me, Jen. I'm sure our listeners are as intrigued by this research as we are.
Definitely. It's been a pleasure exploring this cutting-edge paper with you, Tom. Until next time, keep uncovering the latest scientific discoveries with us.
Funny, weird commercial. Are you tired of the same old buy and hold investment strategies?
Do you want to unlock the hidden patterns in the stock market and profit from the chaos?
Introducing DynaMode, the world's first DMD-powered trading platform.
That's right. We've taken the groundbreaking research on dynamic mode decomposition and turned it into a revolutionary new way to trade.
Our algorithm scans the financial data, identifies the key modes driving market movements, and executes trades to capitalize on these short-term trends.
It's like having a crystal ball that can see into the future, of the next few days at least.
Want to turn $1,000 into $10,000 in a week? Just let DynaMode's adaptive, equation-free modeling do the work.
Warning, results may vary. DynaMode is not responsible for sudden onset of vertigo, nausea, or uncontrollable laughter while trading.
But who needs a stomach anyway when you're raking in the big bucks? Sign up for DynaMode today.
DynaMode, decomposing the markets, one trade at a time.